Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to another episode of White Wine Question Time, Something from the Cellar, our midweek mini drop that allows us to revisit some of our finest conversations. And this week, because May is Mental Health Awareness Month, we're looking at three conversations that served up some genuine pearls of wisdom when it came to navigating the complexities of mental well-being. And we're going to kick off with fashion guru and TV presenter and author, Susanna Constantine. And here she opens up with real candor about what it was to be raised by a mother who had very complicated mental health issues and how that went on to inform who she is today. I wanted to talk about make or break scenarios. Can you think of a situation or a scenario that's been the making of you and also of a time or a scenario that was the breaking of you?
Wow. I think the making of me was or has been walking into my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, because I'm now, and that was like sort of about 8 years ago. And I think now I am discovering, and it sounds such a cliche, but I'm discovering who I am. Not all of it is good at all. I'm learning my defects. You know, I can be a bit passive aggressive. I can be codependent. I can be a bit poor me, victim.
Really? That surprises me.
Yeah. That I definitely, I think that has been the making of me. And it's, you know, I'm not made by a long, long, long shot. You know, it's a work in progress. I am a work in progress. And I think the breaking of me, I don't think I've ever been totally broken.
Really? That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been totally broken. I've never allowed myself to be totally broken. I'm quite, because my mother was severely bipolar and, you know, with multiple suicide attempts. I learnt from a very young age to cope. So I've had this coping mechanism which has stood me in good stead, actually. It's made me very, very strong in a lot of ways. It's also, you know, damaging in other ways. But I think that's why I've never truly hit a breaking point. It's probably yet to come.
Well, none of us know that, do we? But it must have been almost heartbreaking at the time to go through that, especially as a child watching the person that you love make attempts on their lives or struggle with their day-to-day, being high one minute and low the next, as is quite common with bipolar.
Yeah, but for me, it's like, you know, a lot of children, you know, children are brilliant at adapting. And I think that's what I learned to do. Yes, the kind of anxiety every morning, waking up and thinking, how is she going to be today? But you normalize it. You know, you normalize it. You have to. And I didn't assume that other people's parents were the same. You know, I was quite isolated growing up as a child, so I didn't really know other people's parents. But I do remember going to stay with someone when I was about 15 with a school friend, and the mother waking me up in the morning with a cup of tea. And I remember being so moved and emotional by that someone, you know, someone's mother would do that, and was such a lovely gesture. And I remember being incredibly moved by that.
Because it was so unlike your own experiences at home.
Yeah, and my mother was wonderful. You know, she really did do the best she could, and she was very loving, but she was, you know, she couldn't function. And it was, and I look back and I, you know, I wish, you know, she died quite a long time ago, and I wish I'd known then, you know, in hindsight, what I know now. Because she could have been helped far more effectively, because, you know, mental illness is something people are talking about now. But when, you know, my father was in denial about it, and she was just thrown pills and more pills and more pills. And, you know, that was it. She never once went into psychotherapy. It was just a catalogue of different medication, suicide attempts, into, you know, residential care, out. And she'd be all right for a bit, and then they'd change her medication. But you just learn to adapt. It's extraordinary. So I don't look back and think, oh God, you know, poor young, small Susanna. You know, I had the love of an amazing mother. You know, I had amazing love from her. And she was an incredible woman. She was totally unjudgmental, and she never felt she was better than anyone else. And I learned that from her, and that's a great gift. And that's something I try and instill into my own children. You know, never to think they're better than anyone else.
Did you worry about her because you were away at school? You were boarded, and that may be why you were boarded. I don't know, but that would, I'm thinking from your perspective as a child, not being there to see that she's okay or that she's not okay, would that create anxiety for you?
And I think you're absolutely right. I don't think I consciously worried about her. But I was incredibly homesick, and I hated boarding school, and I hated being separated from her. And I think subconsciously it was because I was like her watcher and her keeper. My sister's 6 years older than me, so she, you know, we didn't have the luxury of growing up together. We're now very, very close and very good friends. But at that time, so, you know, I was like the carer in a way for my mum. And I'm sure that's what brought on the homesickness and the anxiety.
Gosh, imagine if your mother was going through that in this day and age, how different the support and the help would be.
It would have been so different, Kate. And, you know, when she died, she was almost in a catatonic. Well, she wasn't a cat. She was catatonic. And, you know, it was a relief for her. You know, she was in so much pain. You could just see it etched all over her face, and had been in so much pain for the latter part of her life that, you know, it was a relief for her that she passed away.
Did she drink?
She drank, but I don't know. Yeah, she did, but then she stopped of her own accord. And I think for her, it really was self-medication because, you know, when she was depressed, and then she just stopped. She just stopped.
Gosh, that's a lot to get your head around. And I always find as well now that anything from our childhood, whilst you deal with that as a young adult, I think once you become a parent, you start reviewing almost your own situation as a child being parented with a very different lens. Did you find that when you had your own kids that you started to understand her better, empathise more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And weirdly, I think I appreciated her. I kind of saw the positives much more than the negatives, because I went through phases of being angry, and I was never embarrassed. I was never embarrassed or ashamed of her. I'd have friends to stay often, but I think I understood and learned to be grateful for what a good person she fundamentally was.
It's funny, isn't it? Love stories come in all different shapes and guises.
Mm.
Before we move on to our next question, can I just ask you if, you know, you talked about the making of you being going into that first AA meeting.
Mm.
Can you still remember what it was like to walk into that room, how it smelt, how you felt?
Absolutely.
That's interesting, isn't it? I think those moments are so massive in our minds.
Mm. It was. It really was. It was the first time I understood that I was doing this for myself. Mm. I wasn't doing it for anyone else, and I was doing it for myself, and I, you know, it was like I had to get well for myself in order to be the mother, the wife, the, you know, the career person that I wanted to be and wanted to get back to, and that was massive.
It's like standing at the foot of a mountain, isn't it, and thinking, mm. Right, how am I going to get up there?
Mm. Exactly.
But congratulations, 8 years
on. Thank you.
Still nailing it.
One day at a time, as they say.
Next up, she may be the queen of the ballroom, but here, Shirley Ballas really lets her guard down as she discusses her very fractured relationship with disordered eating and body dysmorphia.
What I'm also learning is low self-esteem, it starts with me. So even though there's other people that might, you know, chip away at you, chip, it starts with me. So I have to learn to love myself. I have to learn to be comfortable in my own skin, which to this day is still a bit of a struggle. You know, when some things I didn't share in the book, but I'm not comfortable at Strictly with anybody who's saying, oh, you look great, you're brilliant, you're this, you're that. I just can't, everybody knows not to comment. They know not to comment. I can't, it's uncomfortable for me. I like to do the best job and stay focused and go into my world. But I don't know what it is in me, actually. I think it comes from a very, very small child and, you know, at school and other parents. And I remember one parent saying when I got a boy partner, she said, oh, you'll be a teenager and he won't like you because you've got spots and you'll leave pock marks all over your face. I mean, these were, you know, they go back. And you don't forget them, you know. You don't forget them. It's really strange.
You said, I thought this was a beautiful way of describing this kind of about turn that you've had, and you might not be completely at peace with yourself, but far more at peace. You said there was one evening when Danny said to you, you're going to go to bed with your makeup on. And he then took off your eyelashes and he wiped all your makeup off. And he said to you?
He said to me, oh, there she is. That's the girl I fell in love with. You know, he was unzipping and, you know, you don't have to have, mm-hmm. Look, no false nails. Look at that. No false nails. All my life, I wore these big talons and eyelashes and makeup. And now I'm comfortable in a pair of sweats and very little makeup, you know. So,
You just had that moment as saying that was a huge rock off my back. And it made me sad that at 50, whatever age you were when that moment occurred, that you've waited that long for that level of self-acceptance. That made me sad.
58, yeah. It was a moment. It certainly was a moment. It's a moment I'll never forget. But with Danny, you know, he likes every, you know, you get older and you wake up, there's another bump or a lump or a dint or a just, you're not there yet, darling, but trust me. So when you get
trust
to
me,
that
it takes
age,
an hour for my face to wake up these days.
So, you know, I mean, my mother, she's great at 83, but, you know, you look at yourself and every day it's changing. It's a bit more of this or that, and it's self-acceptance. And I do struggle with it. I'm really trying to, you know, and I have a good partner and, you know, he loves every part of me, warts and all, as they say. But until I can accept it, it doesn't matter who accepts it or who thinks what. It's just like, you know, saying things, but they don't penetrate because I stop them here.
Yeah,
because I have to find myself, and I'm in the process of doing that.
I think we have much healthier attitudes towards body shapes and healthier attitudes towards eating well rather than dieting. But you were a star of those shows at a time when actually there was a very unhealthy attitude about it all. It would be quite common for dancers to be pulled aside and told, you've got to lose some weight, you're too fat.
Oh, 100%. That's what they said. They used the word fat. They did. I remember standing in Miami ready to go on for the United States Championships, a year that we had a chance of winning. And Corky, now bear in mind, was very tiny, beautiful physique, 27-inch waist, quite broad shoulders. He was only 5'6" in stature, but perfectly arms, legs, everything was in proportion. And I remember a lady behind me said, oh, my goodness, Shirley, your bum is twice the size of his. Ha, ha, ha. But you know what? It wasn't funny.
No.
It wasn't funny. I then had to go on and dance a major final, trying to get back up to the top with this beginner fella that I'd trained. And everybody used to look at him like this perfect physique. And my arms were too fat, or my bum was too fat, or not fat in relationship, just too big in relationship for a dancer who wants to be a world champion. Everything's visual. Should it be? No, not at all. Is it? Absolutely. And anybody who says in my industry it's any different is lying. They did write-ups on if it jiggles and it wiggles, cover it up. In other words, wear fishnets. So, you know,
really?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, it's something wrong with your knees there. Oh, maybe you should have your eyes done. Or, you know, visually it's not. Absolutely. I mean, you know yourself when people walk into a room, most people will judge that the way they walk, the way they stand, the way they sit, what they're wearing. You know, obviously over the years it's getting better, but that's what the society that we're in. You can see it. I feel it when I go somewhere. And if I don't select a dress of choice, like I got bombarded on social media this week, some people liked my blue dress. Another lady said, you're minging. Horrible dress. Get it off. Too old. But
I mean, I just feel sorry for people that would even sit there and open Twitter and compose that tweet to somebody that they don't know. I mean, why would you do that?
Well, because sometimes perhaps they're in lockdown. Let's use lockdown as the way means forward at the moment. They don't have much else and they reach out, or if somebody gets eliminated, they respond straight away instead of thinking, let me answer that tomorrow. And I forgive them for saying that. Like my mum said, everyone's entitled to an opinion, but you can have your opinion. You know what, Shirley, I'm not really keen on your dresses this week. Love the one last week, maybe. But you don't have to. It's not what they say. It's the way they say it. I mean, I'm used to criticism in a big way. So yeah. I can accept it, but just perhaps the way some people word it, if they're listening, would be nice. But in my industry, it was tough. It was tough, you know, and you were up against other girls that I always had a very curvy shape. I was to get super thin, as I did in 2017 on Strictly and drop down to a size 6. You know, it was hard work. It was almost not eating. I cannot and will not do that to myself again. You know,
Why did you do that though? Well, did you feel that you had to?
And this was in my own head. It was in my own head. So I want to make that clearly. You know, I was going on with this most beautiful woman who I had admired, you know, Darcy Bustle. And she was so slender and so tall and so graceful. And she just seemed, in my own mind, everything I wasn't. So I just took those extra steps to make sure the dress was hanging right and the makeup was right and the hair was right. And not in competition with her, but in competition with myself to not want to let anybody down. You know, didn't want anybody to think, okay, here's a woman in her late, you know, 50s, all fuddy-duddy. I didn't want that feeling, you know.
It's such a shame that you did that to yourself. And I'm sure that Darcy was A, probably unaware of it, and B, would be mortified to think that even just her mere presence had done that to you.
Yeah, she was lovely, though. You know, she took my hand and she was very encouraging and she helped me. I really missed her when she left. I mean, that tour that we had will have in my memory forever, you know, when you have big long legs and she'd do the splits because we shared a changing room. And yeah, and I think after she left, I thought, okay, I can just be myself, you know. So, it's in competition with myself. It's all about how I perceive myself, how I perceive myself.
But, you know, when you go back and you look at the energy that you pour into really something that means so little, does it become a regret of yours that you've wasted so much time and energy on sweating about how you look when it really doesn't matter?
I think in the industry that I'm in, well, not I think, I know in the industry that I'm in, it was all part of it. It was all part of the journey. And I wouldn't be where I am today in my mindset and my thinking. I think I'm always going to have an issue with myself, to be honest with you. Other people will always try to change it, but I think it's so embedded in me that I will always have an issue with me to do the best, look the best that I can in the public eye. You know, I just have high standards for myself, I think.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you if people send you the same generic conversation starters they message everyone else? Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
And last but not least is the brilliant radio and TV presenter Kate Lawler, who's accrued masses of followers online due to her ability to make everybody laugh. But here she shines a light on some of those moments that she's come up against where a smile was a long way from her face. This is Kate talking about the harsh realities of postnatal depression.
What I could never have seen coming, I think, is I guess I could never have seen the postnatal depression, because even though I've experienced anxiety before I had Noah, I've always been an upbeat and outgoing and happy, life and soul of the party kind of person. And I never thought that I would experience depression on that level. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I could never have seen that coming, especially seeing as I felt ready to become a mum and I enjoyed my pregnancy so much, apart from the random, like, you know, the what they call symptoms that you get when you're pregnant. But I could never have seen the postnatal depression. I mean, that I never saw coming, and I...
It steals you, doesn't it? It takes you under, and it sucks all the joy out of everything that you're looking at your baby going, I should feel joy.
Yeah. Everyone says that there's a common phrase, isn't there? Like, people say, oh, you wouldn't have it any other way. You wouldn't have it any other way. It's really hard. It's the hardest thing, but it's the most enjoyable thing. You wouldn't have it any other way. And I'm like, in those first few months, I was like, yes, I would have it another way. I would basically turn back time and forget that this ever happened. Obviously, I don't feel like that now, but when you're in the deep, dark depths of depression, your thoughts can't escape you. There's no... you can't help but feel those things, and now, like, you know, I feel terrible for thinking those things, but it's all part of the process. And I just think it's more harmful to not have these conversations actually about how postnatal depression can happen to anyone.
It really is.
It's 1 in 10 women. It can happen to dads as well. It can happen to carers, and it's perfectly normal to love. And I've never had a problem with bonding with Noah. I've loved her from the moment I knew I was pregnant. But, you know.
Yeah, people are confused the two, don't they, Kate? They think that if you've got postnatal depression, that you don't have a bond with your child, or you're unable to feel love for your child. Yeah. And that's not true. You might just feel horribly sad and trapped and stifled and lost. And it doesn't always happen straight away. Sometimes it could be a year down the line. So don't think, you know, just because you're feeling a bit blue that, oh, I'm just a bit tired. We put a lot at the door of I'm exhausted, mm-hmm. I'm tired. It's hard. It is hard.
And it can happen, like you said, it can happen at any time down that line. It can happen immediately. It can happen with, after you've got through. You could find the first 6 months of joy. I know somebody else being to my podcast today found the first 6 months an absolute dream, and then it hit her. Mm. And I think that's why I wrote the book, because one, I wanted to, you know, I was hoping that I wasn't the only person who felt like this, and two, I wanted to kind of make others feel seen and heard if they too were feeling like they'd gone through the same thing, or if they were struggling with the day-to-day experience of being a new parent. And
it's hard, isn't it? When you want to speak, you want to share this stuff to be helpful, right? And then, but you're doing it at a time when you're still quite fragile, you're healing. And then you go, so once you get through that experience, as you have, you then have to revisit it to write about it, which kind of almost reawakens the, you know, you're waking up that sleeping tiger. Mm-hmm. And it starts to rear its head again. And then once it goes out into the wider world, I don't know, sometimes I just don't feel ready for the feedback, you know, the keyboard warriors, the Karens, you know?
That's the thing with parenting. You experience so much of online and with friends and with family of opinion giving, and people, no person has more opinions than a parent. I do it as well. My friend's pregnant and I'm like, oh, have you thought about
it? Can't help it, can you?
You do. You're like, oh God, I'm doing that thing that I... But
and then you want to take them all the back, so I don't want to be that person that preaches.
No, and you're like, oh, but I wouldn't do that if I were you, actually, because actually probably we did it this way. And that's the thing. It's such a unique experience, parenting. But you have to just let people get on. I'm trying not to be that person. All my friends that are pregnant at the minute, I'm trying not to give all the advice or say, oh, I wouldn't do it like this, I wouldn't do that, because you just have to do what works for you. And you can take on all the advice. The thing is, it's so overwhelming, the advice you're given and the opinions. Like, you'll put one thing on Instagram and everyone's like, what are you doing? Why have you not tried, why have you done that? You know that it's not advisable to do this. And I just thought, oh my goodness, why have I shared that? I'm like, it's...
I know, I felt for you. I think you had gone out one day and you'd put a muslin over your pram. And literally, an army of Karens had been on going,
she could die. The thing is, what they didn't know is that we were walking at like 9 a.m. The sun was beaming, but it wasn't actually that hot. So we put the thing over for shade, but still, we soon realised that it's probably not the best thing to put over a pram, because you can't actually, like, it's not very breathable. But then in the same breath, like, my mum said, but no, I used to put a blanket over your pram. It was thick, and you were okay. But obviously times have changed now, and you have to look at, like, safe sleeping and guidelines of, you know, everything like that. But that,
of course.
I got absolutely rinsed for that. People, yeah, I was really...
I felt like saying, you know what? You know, like when my mum gave birth to me, they still had ashtrays built into the beds on the ward because they encouraged people to smoke through labour, Kate, right? And I'm not even 500.
What?
And I think I got brought home in the car, and we didn't have seat belts for the car seat. We don't even had a car seat.
We've come a very long way, haven't we? Our babies now are so mollycoddled. They've got, like, there's no chance of anything happening. Like, my goodness me. Yeah, hell hath no fury than the camera on the internet looking at your Instagram, waiting for you to do something wrong or that's not safe. Like, I think I said about putting Nora in her own room at 5 months, because we've got one of those monitors that come with a sock, so it reads her stats, like her vital stats, sorry. And it's got like a heart rate and her oxygen levels. And because I just think she was ready at 5 months, I thought, well, we've got the monitor and it's on my phone and it's there. So because she's got that sock on, I know her, I'm ready to do it. But I had a few Karens, like, it's at 6 months, actually. I don't think you're supposed to do that at 5 months. And I'm like, I know, it's a guideline, though, Kaz. But at the same time, social media can be really lovely, because when you need help or you have a question or you're stuck or you're thinking...
Oh, they're there,
for example,
yeah.
Noah's only got two teeth. And she's 30, she's nearly 14 months. And I said the other day, she's only got two teeth. Like, is this normal? And loads of people messaged me saying, my son didn't have any teeth till he was 16 months old, so don't worry about it. Or my daughter never had any teeth till she was 18 months. So, like, yeah, it makes it puts your mind at rest, and it helps you, you know, a lot in more ways. And so you worry so much being a parent. You worry that something's wrong with your child every 5 minutes, and that this isn't right. We need to go to A&E. We need to do this. Like, the amount of times Roger and I have been like, this isn't right. This isn't right. We need to call somebody. And I ring my mate, who's a nurse, and she's like, it's fine. It's normal. We do panic. But I think it's normal for everyone.
We do.
I think it's normal.
It's your right as a parent. Mm. The book is doing so well. Congratulations, Kate. It's really honest. It's really funny. It's really engaging. All of the things that you are. And congratulations on making so many big, bold decisions. I don't think you'll ever regret them.
No, I hope I won't. I think, you know, there's been a few comments, and I know what they're trying to say from friends and from people I don't know. Like, oh, how do you feel about Noah, like, reading this book when she grows up? And I feel like it's a bit of a loaded question because, like, they're basically, like, it's obvious one that, like, they're trying to say, like, do you not think that she's going to be a little bit upset that you've written this book? And I have to remind them that, the postnatal depression isn't because of Noah. It's the way I'm feeling, like, my thoughts. If I wrote a book like, my child sucks and I hate her, then, yeah, they'd have a fair question.
Fair but comment.
It's like, you know, every parent has... Not every parent. I mean, some parents have it cracked from day one. No complaints whatsoever, right, about being a mum or dad. They're very lucky. But the amount of parents that I've spoken to, from friends to family members, who have, since I spoke so candidly on social media from the very newborn days and since I released the book, who have come to me and said, I felt exactly the same. And I said, with who? And they were like, oh, with my first. And I said, but you didn't tell me that. We didn't know that. Why didn't you tell any of us? Well, because I felt bad, because nobody else felt like that. And it's wrong for parents to shy away from telling and being honest about how they're feeling if they're going through a hard time, because it's totally normal. Like, you need to normalise the feelings that you might not enjoy every aspect of parenting in those newborn days. It's okay.
And that's okay.
Like, you don't enjoy every moment with your... Sometimes your partner can be a bit of a dick and you love them, but they can be a bit of a knob.
They're boring.
Sometimes at work, you might have a job you love, but you might work with somebody you don't like, or parts of your job, you're like, I really don't like that bit of my job, this part of my job, and I just not, you know, everything in life, like, you might not like you might not like neighbours, or you might not like the part of your street you live on, and everything in life comes with its pros and cons, and, like, being a parent is wonderful, it's magical, it is. I only understand what people said about it, you know, that common phrase people say, it's the hardest thing, but you'll never any other way, it's the best thing you'll ever do. I only understand it now I've done it, because I still look at Noah every single day. I can't wait to go into her room in the morning and wake her up, and she smiles at me, and she's just such a cute little person, and she's perfect to me. Like, all parents think their kids perfect, right? But I just look at her and think, I'm so glad I've done this. Like, I am exhausted, I am tired, I'm fragile still, I'm still learning the ropes, and there are days where I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. This morning, I drove her 25 minutes to Golders Green swimming rocks, only to find it was closed for half term. Because I didn't know that it was close for half term. I should know as a parent when half term is. I still don't know, Kate. I'm learning on the job. I drove
you shouldn't, because she's not at school. Listen, I've got a kid at school and I don't always know when half term is. Don't worry. Trust me.
I was like, hi, I'm here. No one's here. She's like, it's half term, Kate. Just the holidays. I was like, okay, I'll go home. Poor Noah had a 50-minute round trip in the car for no reason. And I was just like, she was so good. But it's like, there are days where you feel broken, where you feel tired, where you feel like you don't know what you're doing, where you have thoughts like, why am I doing this? But there is a reason why parents do it again and why people have multiple children, because they just absolutely love it. Like, I'm happy with one. I'm glad I've done it. I really am content just being a mum of one and two dogs. That is for me. But I honestly think it is you every day. You are going through such a complex set of emotions. You can feel the greatest joy and the deepest despair in the matter of an hour. You can have 1 hour that's good, and the next hour you feel, oh, you're like, why have I done this? But that is parenting. And the more she grows up, the more I am in love with her. And I didn't think it was possible to love her more than the previous day. And you've always got to remember, if you're going through such a shit time at the moment, one of my friends messaged me on Instagram the other day saying, do you have any... recommendations of a doula? My friend's going through a really hard time, and it hits me. Like, I feel like I've been punched in the stomach when I hear somebody else is going through it, because I've been through it, and it's so important to have help around you, whether that's family or friends. That I had her in the middle of the pandemic. I didn't have that support, which is why we hired help, because we're legally allowed to have professional help in the pandemic. But it's so important to have support from your partner or your friends or your family, because it really does take a village. And if you are in the throes of postnatal depression, or just in the thick of the early newborn days, which are so apocalyptic for you and your partner, Like, just remember that it's a phase, yeah. And you do, your feelings change as quickly as your children do. They really do. And I can speak from somebody who's gone through the worst feelings I've ever gone through, the, you know, the deepest despair that parenting can bring. But I've come out the other side, and the older Noah gets, the more I'm enjoying her. And interestingly enough, I did a poll on Instagram saying, on her first birthday, saying, have I got through the hardest part? And it was a 50-50 split. You know, half of parents were saying, you definitely have. From now on, it's like, it's plain sailing. You're going to love it. The older she gets, the more joy she's going to bring you. And for others, they said, no, the first year is actually the easiest. So it'll be interesting to see how the next year goes.
A huge thanks to you for joining me for another trip down to the cellar. If you'd like to hear any of these episodes in full, just search the guests by their name in our extensive back catalogue. So this week, you've been listening to Susanna Constantine. We've had Shirley Ballas and, of course, Kate Lawler. Oh, before I go, one more thing. Remember, you can always find us on Instagram for all the latest about the show. We're at @whitewine_questiontime. And also, please hit the follow button on Spotify. It's really, really helpful in terms of us being able to find you. I'm going to be back on Friday with another brand new guest. Until then, thank you, as always, for your company.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.